Things are really happening. You remember when we sent the flag to Israel, which flag is flying out there right now? And we said, now this, according to what we have in our understanding from the Lord, that this has to do with the end of things as it is with Israel, which I felt had to do with Shemer and the end of Shemer and Regine. And I said, and from this will indicate the coming in of the tribulation period. Well, sure enough, I understand that they are putting Shemir out, that they're getting another leader, changing their forms of government. And whereas Shemir is really a kind of a hard ruler, that they call him the last of the hardliners, and that the one that's coming in now is a little more lenient toward the Arab people. And of course, that means that there's going to be a compromise to some extent, which is the worst thing that Israel can do. Not in that you should have what you call hardliners, because there are a lot of great, loving Christian people among the Arab people. But in that Israel is blinded in part, Israel only knows that is the law, and God only requires of Israel as to what Israel knows. And I've said before, it doesn't give Israel a opportunity or reason just to flounder around and just live the way that some of them's living in adultery and evil and drinking and concupiscence and lasciviousness and all this kind of thing. As a matter of fact, Israel, true Israel, will be found, the Bible teaches, without spot, wrinkle, or blemish. As to the tribes of Israel, which is the children of Jacob, whose name was changed to Israel, they'll be found as real godly people that follow the Lamb whithersoever he will go, and doing those things that please him. So Israel doesn't have any reason to do the evils that they do no more than the world has reason to do that, because all of them is gradually coming to the truth and they know better. But because of the way that things are to go, then that means that the form of government has to shift. And when it does, it will give strength to the Arab people. And when the Arab people come in, it will be a bad thing for Israel, because Israel is supposed to be devoted to those precepts and the understanding as to the commandments of God, to deviate neither to the right nor to the left at any time for anybody. And that they are not to just go and take strangers in among them. There has to be a godly permission for them to have strangers within their radius. And that as to the signs, as to the circumcision and seal of God among them. And with this, that means that it is a treacherous moment for Israel, a very bad moment that will lead to a complete devastation. And in this, that means that the end of the world is here, because if Israel is coming back in, someone would say, well, Brother Pike, isn't Israel coming back in to be received of the Lord and caressed of the Lord, in that they have been turned out all of this time? No, Israel is not coming in to be caressed of the Lord, no more than the Gentiles is caressed of the Lord as to them that are without. The blood has been on the mercy seat for the Gentile people. But then the question arises, has it been on the mercy seat for the Jewish people? Of course, God is no respecter of person. When the blood went on the mercy seat, it went on the mercy seat for everybody. And can a Jew be saved? I've heard people say, well, you'll never be able to win Jews to God. You know, they come in as a nation and ain't no need to try to go over and win them, this kind of thing. Folks, that's not right. The Bible said, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. And Paul said, we have proven that all have corrupted their way before God, and all have turned to their own way, and all have looked to their own quarter for their own gain, and that there's none of them good, no, not one. And that God has laid upon Jesus Christ the iniquity of us all, and he was the one that was bruised for our iniquity, and the chastisement of our peace was upon him, by whose stripes that we are healed. And then can the Jew come in and be saved any other way than through the blood of Jesus? Absolutely not. The Bible said no man can come unto the Father but by the Son, which means through the blood, and he cannot come lest the Spirit of Christ draw him. So, see, there is no difference, Jew, Gentile, whatever it is, race, creed, color. God is no respect of a human person. He does not regard your face or form. As I said, he destroyed that at Calvary of all men, of the Jews and of the Gentiles, that he might never look upon your human being anymore. Because you are born as a beast from the fall in the garden, and in Adam all die. And because of that, God does not look upon you except in Christ Jesus through the blood that's on the mercy seat until he can bring the church or the elect out of the people. Whereas he said, come out from among them and be a separate people, touch not the unclean things, and I'll receive you, saith the Lord. So it's very obvious that he is bringing those out that are elect. As it was, I remind you again when Paul preached to them, them that were before of old, as in the mind of God, ordained unto eternal life, they believe, and the ones that were not foreordained did not believe. Some men foreordain unto corruption, turning the grace of God into lasciviousness, denying the only Lord God, and bringing upon them themselves with damnation. So it is obvious that the Jews is no more than anybody else. And Paul said to all of those that came out of Egypt, that was not Christ's seed, but in Isaac shall the seed be called. Isaac pointing to Jesus said, in Christ, the seed, it is by faith of Jesus Christ that we are made nigh unto God, our great eternal Father, who is the eternal Spirit, through the love and through the affection of our Lord and Savior, his sufferings. So we see something happening in Israel, and we know that things is just about right for God to receive them, not as to a loving kindness, but to receive them to go through the tribulation period. And the Bible said that a tribulation of wrath from God and suffering shall be upon these people, such as was not since the foundation of the world, because they killed the prophets, they killed the wise men. Paul said the wrath of God is come unto you unto the uttermost, because you have killed the prophets that he sent. You killed the wise man. You would have none of God. And now it's a horrible, horrible time. And Jesus stood and prayed. And as he prayed, he said, O Jerusalem, how oft would I have gathered thee as a hen would her brood, and you would not. Now your houses are left unto you desolate, until ye shall say, blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. He said, for the time shall come that they shall compass thee about. Remember Daniel? Daniel said, and when the armies compass Jerusalem about, it will bring the desolation, the abomination. Said God will bring this, and that will be the end of the world. And he said, the time will come, Israel, when these armies will gather about thee in thy city and lay thee even with the ground. And he wept and wept. And he was apparently speaking of the great desolation, the abomination of desolation that Daniel the prophet spoke of, because in one of his sermonettes there on the mount, he told them in just a few short words, he said, when you see the abomination of desolation spoken of by Daniel the prophet standing in the holy place, which is Jerusalem, the place it ought not, then shall the end come. Said, and when you see the cities of Jerusalem compassed about with armies, know that the desolation thereof is nigh, which is the abomination of desolation. And of course, we're going to take some time to explain the abomination of desolation. But the thing is, just kind of touching it a little bit to bring out a thought tonight. The time is drawing near. Will God afterwards cuddle the real, genuine Israel of God that he brings through the blood of Christ? When I say the blood of Christ, the 144,000 that was sealed. And the Bible said these follow the Lamb, which is Jesus. Jews don't accept the Lamb. They don't accept Jesus. They don't accept that was typical of the Lamb. But said, these follow the Lamb whithersoever he goeth. So it's obvious that the sealing comes through the blood of the Lord Jesus. And this great multitude as to Israel, the whole house of Israel, which means 12,000 of each son of Jacob, they're sealed. And as it is written, out of Zion goes forth the deliverer, and he shall turn ungodliness away from Jacob, and the whole house of Israel shall be saved. And Paul again says, in speaking of this, then are they all of Israel? He said, no. Then shall all of them be saved? He said, no, for these that are in unbelief, these are not of Israel, he said. Though they be called Jew, he said, there is no such thing as a Jew, except a Jew in the spirit, which we, you, I, us, we're the spiritual Jew. And we're the true Israel, the Bible said. So then it's very obvious that what the Lord is telling us is that at the end time, it's going to be a troublesome time. But just as God will cuddle the church, he will also cuddle Israel, true Israel. And Israel and the true spiritual Jew as the true Israel will come together. It'll be a great, wonderful time. And right now we see that thing changing and the tribulation period getting ready to come in. And I'd made the statement that that devastation is going to start moving out of the Muslim people. And it will. They say the fastest growing religion even in America is the Muslim people. Whether true or false, I don't know. But I do know it's around the world. And I do know out of that comes some of the most cruel deeds that I have ever seen in my life or ever known of. Even to the women that they're married to that they keep behind the veil. And, of course, keeping them behind the veil indicates that in the old country that the woman was behind the veil, shamefaced because she was the one that was found in the transgression. And to her husband, she was to submit herself. And over here in America, it's called the New World, whereas we do not see through the glass darkly or through the veil, whereas that is the rent veil. Now at Calvary, it's taken that away. And the veil has been rent in twain, and we see face to face as to walking in the Spirit, praising the Lord, and with the eyes of understanding, comprehending the heights, the depth, the width, and the length of this wonderful thing. And I remind you one more time that this light that shines in darkness, as gross darkness, as to cover the people in the end time, and the Bible said, and they comprehended it not, as to intellectual darkness. They could not comprehend godly understanding, which is called light. But you, being children of light, you comprehend the heights, the depth, the width, and the length of this wonderful thing. And they do not comprehend because they do not even see when good comes. Their eyes has been blinded by the intellectual powers of Lucifer, even the god of this world. And they have the love of the world in their heart and the love of the flesh. And they cannot comprehend. They do not even see this good when it comes because the eyes of the understanding as to the ignorance, Paul, that said that is within them. It hath blinded them that they cannot see. So as a snare shall the coming of the Lord and the wrath of God come upon the whole world. But unto you, it's not that way. With you, God hath given you light, and you are children of light. And that day shall not take you unaware, though it shall come as a snare on all of them that dwell on the earth. It shall not come as a snare upon you, but ye shall know when it's nigh, even at the door. Well, let's just read a thought or two here and just see what the Lord will tell us. It all depends on how hungry we are and how thirsty. The Bible said, he that hungers and thirsts after righteousness shall be filled. And let's read here the book of Revelation, reading from the third chapter, starting with the 13th verse. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. Now, evidently, everybody don't have a spiritual ear. It is said, he that hath an ear. And Jesus said to the Jewish people, having eyes ye see not, having ears ye hear not. Evidently, though you have natural ears and natural eyes, that doesn't mean anything. That's only for this world here as to the human senses. But as to that world, whether or not you have an ear, that's different altogether. Do you have an ear to hear? Do you have an eye to see? Jesus said, as a man, I see always the things I see my Father do. I see it as a man. I see all these things, all that he does. I hear always that my Father says. I hear it as a man. I hear this. See, and I do what he tells me to do. I see this and I follow in his steps. And whatever my Father does, he worketh hitherunto, and I work. So, in this, he that hath an ear, let him hear. Why does he say that? Because I will preach this tonight. Many preachers will preach, but many people will not hear what the Spirit is saying. You will hear what I'm saying as to a vocal expression a vocal utterance, you will hear that. And you might even retain that to the strength of a reflection, that it might even be brought back to your remembrance in a part or partially. But as to hear what Christ from within me is saying, you may never hear that, because you may be sitting in the seat of the scornful. You may be standing in the way of sinners. You may not have your spirit submitted. And since God is a spirit, He has to speak to your spirit. Sometimes I'll come in here and I go to get into the spirit, and I stumble and I stagger and I stumble. And then I start searching, and I know then there's somebody sitting there somewhere that is not synchronized with the move of the spirit, and that they're not in the spirit, and that they're in the carnal reasoning. And I feel the rebounds of it, and I keep searching till I find out where it's coming from. See, it's like a physician. He's going over the body and he's checking to see what's causing the murmur in the heart, or why there's a skip or a beat as to the heartbeat. Or he's checking things out to find out if he can pinpoint the trouble. And in the body of Christ, it's the same way. One member suffer, they all suffer. I mash my finger, my whole body is in misery. I pull a tooth, my whole body is in misery. See, but if something happens like drinking a milkshake, eating ice cream, my whole body rejoices. When one member suffers, they all suffer. When one member rejoices, if it's nothing but my appetite as I swallow it, all of the members rejoice. And so then I come here searching. I come here communicating with you as a man on a man's level, to you as a human being, that I might get your human attention, that following this, that the great Holy Spirit might take my brain and my mind and begin to speak. For the Bible said, it shall not be you speaking as a man, but it shall be Almighty God speaking. And as it is written, all of them shall be taught of God, and even as down to the child, where he said, as he rebuked the Pharisees and scribes, have you not read how that out of the mouth of sucklings and babes God has perfected praise? And they shall know of me from the least to the greatest, he said. So when I come here to get your attention. And then when I get your attention, and I submit my spirit to God, if I'm walking where I'm supposed to be with God, then God, who is a spirit, begins to administer through my spirit to the people, because I am a shepherd. I am a shepherd. If I was just a sheep, he could not do that. But as a shepherd, he does. So then God has given me the heart of a shepherd for my work. And I come here to try to get your attention, that I might speak to you. And as I speak to you, to where I can get into the anointing of God and into the Spirit of God. I do not have to get anointed, because I am God's anointed. As I've told you many times, a preacher never has to get anointed. But I do have to stir up what's called the pure mind, which is the mind of Christ, which is within me. I have to stir that up. And there is an opposition. Because as you are an individual, I'm an individual. You have a natural brain, I have a natural brain. And there's a difference between your brain and your spirit. And as I say so often, as you think in your heart, so you are. Not as you think in your head. You do not do your thinking in your head. You do your thinking in your heart. The spirit is what does the thinking. It is relative to angels that are not fallen and angels that are fallen. And being relative to that, the communication is spirit with spirit, whether unto death or whether it be unto life. And so then I come to you to try to synchronize as to the brain with the spirit, because I have five human senses like you have five human senses. And our human senses makes us relative to the natural things around us, which has emanated from God. These natural things which Satan seeks to educate through the educational system, that he might control you, and that demons that are in dark places as to intellectual ignorance wandering around through these tormenting places, these demons, Satan educates you so that these demons can get into your body, that he might have a great, powerful, strong, mighty army, or a great, mighty government to control from within human beings' heart, and to confiscate and get control of all that belongs to God, that God gave to Adam and Eve at the time that he created them, that he himself had the abundance of life and living, might dwell in them to the fullness of life to their desire, where there be no sickness, no problem whatsoever. But since through the foolishness of man and the weakness of the flesh, man fell to the low level of a beast, of which science traces him back to be, then that means that he is subject to all of the vanities of the world, and he is a bond child, which means his spiritual indwelling life is in bondage to the five human senses of these things around us, to eat and to drink, to buy, to sell, to passions, and all these kinds of things. And we are in an Egyptian prison because civilization comes from Egypt. And you are just a derivative of that civilization as to a carryover. And because of that, you're trying to get out of this intellectual darkness. And your spirit is trying to escape this prison, this body. Paul said, "Oh, wretched man that I am." This body is a wretch, he said. It's a fallen wretch. It's infiltrated with evil and lust and desire of natural things. And all of this goes to death. To be natural or carnally minded is death. And I'm trying to get you out of that, God said, out of that body. And the only way I can do that is to kill that body at Calvary. I have to kill that body, which I've done by the body of the Lord Jesus. You should then reckon yourselves to be dead by the body of the Lord Jesus unto the world and the things of the world. And your spirit should come out from the things of the world. Because if the love of the world's in you, the love of the Father's not there. But if you're born again and the body's dead by Calvary, then you now have the kingdom of God within you as to the resurrected body of the Lord Jesus Christ, being a new creature in a new world with a new vision. And behold, old things have passed away and all things have become new. And so they that are in the flesh, as to your natural image, as to your natural desire, as to your natural birth, the Bible said it's impossible to please God. There's no way you could ever be saved. There's no way you could ever be a Christian. There's no way that you could ever go to heaven, even though the blood is on the seat of atonement. And right now the rain is on the tares, well as the wheat, and you're getting all the benefits of medical aid and everything else that's soon to pass away. And you're to be in darkness to the extent that you'll gnaw your tongue and it won't even be any healing medicines. But right now, through the grace of God upon the church, getting the church out from among those people, those beasts, bringing them in as to the predestinated and the elect, now is the opportunity to find out what you are. And the Bible said, examine yourself and see as to these certain things of peace, love, meekness, long-suffering, whatever, as to you being born again as to the nature of Christ, lest you be reprobates. He said, prove yourself and check this out, lest you be reprobate. So we read once again here, he that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. And unto the angel of the church of the Laodiceans write these things, saith the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the beginning of the creation of God. I know thy works, that thou art neither cold nor hot. I would thou wert cold or hot. That is, in this Laodicean, lukewarm, which means people's right age, people's rights, everybody, every color, every race, male and female, children, grown-ups, all struggling for their rights. Little associations struggling for their rights. Everybody struggling for their rights. See, this Laodicean church age, he said, you're just a bunch of lukewarm vomit on my table people. Think about that now. See, something that's lukewarm, you spew out of your mouth and you can't drink it. He said, you all are vomit on my table. I have spewed you out of my mouth, Jesus said. I would that you were hot, or I would that you were cold. I say again, that means I would that you didn't know nothing about religion or God and was just cold, because the blood on the seat of atonement would provide for you, because where there's no knowledge of sin, sin is not imputed. And I could be merciful to you. I would that you were hot, burning fervently in the religious way of life of following Christ, that I might give you all of the treasures of heaven and the blessings of life and the health that you need to supply all of your needs. But because you will not go one way or another, you won't be out in the world and just be cold as to say, I don't know anything about God. You've come to a knowledge of God. You know about God. You'll go to church and then you'll go back out to those frolics in the world and try to cover it with a religious garment, as if to say, I still have God. I still have God. I'm not going to hell. And one day you're out there, and the next day you're in here. He said, I would that you were cold or hot. Because you're lukewarm, I'll spew you out of my mouth. All of my tables are filled with vomit. You cannot eat at the table of devils and eat at my table, he said. So then, knowing that God has made you and I as the body, that he should dwell in it as the abundance of life, and that it should be you and him and his world, and he made all the world for you, then he is upset because you have taken his body, and the body being for the Lord, and you've given it to the devil, his arch enemy. And you have stolen everything. Satan is a thief and a robber. And you've stolen everything from God as a walking devil. Like Jesus said, I chose 12, one of you is a devil. And Judas, Satan incarnate, stealing. He's a thief. He's a robber. He steals the virtues of men. He steals the mind and understanding and sanity of men. He steals the health. He steals all of the blessings and prosperity. He leeches continually on man's body. And so then that body is defiled, and God cannot live in it because of your foolishness to allow Satan to contaminate it. And you've lost your virtue and you're no more to him. So he said, I'll destroy your body because I can never live in it. Disease in the bloodstream, you cannot live. So he said here, he said, I would that you were hot or cold, but because you're lukewarm, I'll spew you out of my mouth. Because thou sayest, I am rich, as the world today, increased with goods and have need of nothing, and knowest not that thou art wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked, that is away from spiritual things. I counsel thee to buy of me gold tried in the fire, that thou mayest be rich, and white raiment, that thou mayest be clothed, and the shame of thy nakedness do not appear, and anoint thine eyes with eye salve, that thou mayest see. Oh, that is, have you repented of your sins? Have you been baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for remission of sins, since there is remission in none other name, saving the name of Jesus, as to be crucified with him by Calvary and buried with him in a watery grave, to be resurrected in the newness of a life as a new creature in a new world? Have you done that? Paul said, as many as having been baptized into Christ Jesus, they put on Christ Jesus. Now, have you done that? He said, I counsel of you, buy of me that gold, that raiment, this that's passed through the fire, even Jesus, that passed through the chambers of hell, where he went down into the heart of the earth, told those that were under the altar that had died under the law, said, here is a beautiful garment, that is my body of righteousness. Put it on, you spirits that's without bodies, that lift your bodies back in the grave, and you spirits that are resting here in this place, until your brethren likewise through the Holocaust and whatever is killed. He said, take this garment and put it on. Well, that is, put you on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provisions for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof. Are ye not dead by Calvary? Are ye not buried in baptism by the death of the Lord Jesus? Are you not resurrected, and do you not dwell in heaven, in that at death the spirit goes back to God who gave it, and the body is gone into the grave by the body of the Lord Jesus Christ? And now ye are that which is translated into the Spirit of Christ, dwelling within the body of Christ at the right hand of the Father, until the time that he appears with the Thessalonian chains, that you yourself, coming out of the soul cocoon by the metamorphosis as the butterfly, might be changed into his glorious image. See, are we not hid in him? And he goes on to say here, as many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Be zealous, therefore, and repent. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come into him and will sup with him, and he with me. To him that overcometh, I will grant to sit with me in my throne, even as I also overcame and am set down with my Father in his throne. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. So, I want to talk to you for just a few minutes on this, maybe to drop in some revelation, maybe not. As to whether I will get into revelation or not depends entirely on you. If the Spirit finds your spirit hungry, thirsting, if your spirit is drawing us to enough spirits in here when we get into the mind of Christ, then it will draw this great mind of God, which is spirit and life. And you will have more heavenly treasure in your earthen vessel that someday is to be made manifest as the life of Christ in your mortal genes, to change you and raise you to a great height of whatever that height that you may obtain in the spirit might be, and that is to an eternal source. or if you do not have that hunger and thirst, as to follow, to know the depths of Satan, after a while you'll find yourself down, 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 more deeper into the gullible desires of the flesh and the concupiscence of life, the lasciviousness of evil, and find yourself way down in the deep depths of darkness and despair, health gone, sanity gone, everything gone, finance gone, opportunity to be saved will be gone, twice dead, plucked up by the root. And you'll find that, as it was said concerning Judas, the Lord said as to his sins that it would have been better if this man had never been born into the world. And then it speaks of those that never have known the depths of Satan, as to sink down to the deep, deep despair of darkness, to the tortures and the torments and the hideous things. You know, you see on television a lot of times, you people that watch television, you speak of this and you speak of the weird things that you see in Star Wars and all of these other things. That's wild imagination coming out of Hollywood. That's wild imagination. But at the same time, somewhere in that world, there are spiritual demons and devils that the human mind is capturing and projecting, just like we capture holy things in the spiritual world and project those things as unto goodness and unto godliness and unto life. And these things are beginning to come forth. For man without God is a bottomless pit. He ever learns and he never comes to the knowledge of the truth. But a man in God, the Bible said, the things of God have an end, and surely there's a foundation. Abraham sought a city whose builder and maker of God, as God hath foundation. So in this bottomless pit, you are the gates to hell. The Bible teaches that I will set up my kingdom, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. The world within you that reject God, you are the gates of hell. And out of your innermost being comes all of these things and wild imaginations. When God said to the children of God, casting down imagination and every high thing that exalted itself against the knowledge of God, and bring into captivity every thought to the obedience of Jesus Christ. And you are the gates to heaven. The Bible said, lift up your head, ye everlasting gates, that the King of glory may come in. For the world is not in you. But the Bible said that the kingdom of God is within you, and ye are gates to heaven, and all that you utter is Christ from his throne, and that thing from on the inside, coming forth as rivers of living water from your innermost being, or wells of salvation which ye are. The Bible said, out of these wells you bring forth waters of joy. Waters of joy. This water of salvation that quenches the thirst of those that are spiritually thirsting for life. So then that means that some are gates of hell in here tonight as I speak to you. Some are gates of heaven. Some, as to where these films go out, whether it be by television or it be by the printed page, as they take these messages off of tape, whatever it might be, by radio, this is speaking to those that are without. Those, many of them that are, as to the gates of hell, that cannot prevail against the church. Though they're trying everything they can to overthrow the church through the IRS to suppress, as it was in the days when Mary was heavy with child and they went up for the taxing. Or it is this demon oppression as to the Jim Jones things and all of the other accusations as the law in the early church, when they were constantly coming down upon the church to beat them and throw them in prison and to defame them to where nobody would listen at them. See, devils and demons without the gates of hell that make war against the children of God, and they cannot prevail against the gates of glory. These everlasting gates of which ye are, as the King of heaven dwells on the inside, and from out of your innermost being comes this wonderful water of life to the thirsty. So then he said, I would that you were hot or cold. I would that you didn't know nothing about God. You would have been better off. For cause there's no sin imputed where there's no knowledge. I would that you were hot and fervent and burning with the fire of God, in fasting and praying and seeking God and going on with God to these wonderful heavenly treasures, as you, through the fullness of the exuberance of the Spirit, rise higher and higher into first heaven and second heaven and third heaven as to being healed in your body and in your spirit and in your soul. For Paul said, I would like to present you blameless body, soul, and spirit, because there are bodiless spirits. There are angelic beings in heaven as to seraphims. There are angelic beings in heaven as to cherubs. There are angelic beings in heaven as to people. And these things, there are angelic beings like Michael and Gabriel who do not have any body, human bodies, no bodies at all. See, and Paul said, I would like to present you to God, holy in body, holy in spirit, to be holy within your soul. See, I would love to present you body, soul, and spirit to God. And folks, he said, I would that you were hot or cold. I would that you would do something. You cannot profess Christianity, confess Christianity, go about staying in the world, being with people, knowing that evil communication corrupts good manners, and going along with the regular trend of life, having this kind of life, partying, and living according to the world and according to the intellectual and according to the polished scholars of life, as to the educational system of diplomacies of life, you can't do that. You've got to come out of the world, be a separate people, touch not those unclean things, for they are unclean. And I'll receive you, saith the Lord. Touch not those unclean things, for all that is of the world, whether it be the educational system, the sports system, or whatever it might be, all that is of the world is the pride of life, the lust of the flesh. And the world and the lust thereof passeth away. But he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. I'm just taking my time tonight with a little simplicity of exhortation toward Christianity. One of the reasons is because someone came to me today and was telling me, said, you preach, Brother Pike, on this wonderful thing of being a Christian, the wonderful reward of a Christian, and all these many things. Said, but the thing that I'm wanting to know, what do you do when you're not a Christian? Whereas I preach many sermons on what you do when you're not a Christian. Many sermons. Here and abroad. But I usually deal with that when I'm out in the field. Like no doubt in the camp meeting here. See, but the thing is, at home, I suppose that you, especially as this brother, which has been with me for a number of years. See, that you should be past that. Because the Bible said, turning not again to lay the foundation of repentance, of dead works and dead faith toward God. Let us go on to perfection. Let us go on to be therefore perfect, even as our Father in heaven is perfect. And let us go on to a full reward. And so then in these things, I save those things for those that need repentance. And occasionally, I have people to come in here that need repentance. So I try to bring a real childlike message as to a real gentle thing, not with harshness, but with patience and long-suffering. And I try to bring it out to where it is on a little child's level, to where even a child can understand it. For the Bible said, out of the mouth of babes and suckling, God has perfected praise. But at the same time, the Bible said there should be meat in the house of God. And that the meat belongs to the strong. They are by reasoning, exercise their senses to be able to discern between good and evil. And so then I try to bring these things for the strong. Because you need to feed. You need to grow stronger. You need to grow greater because we are obtaining higher heights. Like the songwriter said on one occasion when he wrote the song, he said, higher, higher in the school of wisdom ever let me go. Higher, higher, greater, more mighty, more of thy truth to know. So while some people are going in one direction, as to sinking in a depth of despair, we are going as up Jacob's ladder, like as when he was there at Bethel, and through the night saw this open door and the stairway to heaven and angels ascending and descending, which was typical as when Nathan came to Jesus and angels was descending upon him. See, the stairway of the heaven is to the church age messengers from Calvary all the way down to our day, where there in the midst of the candlesticks, John saw Christ standing. The stairway to glory, the seven-dimensional projection into that wonderful world. I'm trying to bring those things out. trying to bring out as to the stairway to heaven, that we might continually go. And like the song that we wrote, one day a stranger came down from glory and stole my heart away. And upon heaven's golden stairs, I found him standing there. See, and we are moving into a wonderful dimensional height of glory and following, because this stranger, as the song says, he came, he stole my heart, he took my heart above all of the treasures of the earth, above all of my desire of the earth. Even David said his love is far exceeding as to excel that of women, even as a man speaketh. And so this wonderful love, this wonderful thing that stole my heart, that took my heart, and God took it away with Jesus. And there I feel relative to him. And I hunger and I thirst after him. And I long, as Solomon says, I long to hear from him. Whereas the Bible said him standing out in the night, having his hand upon the lock, and mere drops of honey like dropping from his hands, and the dewdrops of the night out in the darkness as in his locks. Well, that is to say, while he's standing out there in the night and you've got him shut out with your old intellectual reasoning, he says, I stand at the heart's door and knock, and if you'll open, I'll come in and I'll sup with you. See, this Jesus, I'm his bride. We're his bride. We belong to him, because in the masculine here, we are but feminine to him, because they intersect as with the spirit into the body. And so then it's only a typical thing as to a man and woman to show Christ in the church. See, and we are longing after him and we are looking after him. And we want to conceive of him to the extent till Christ be formed within our hearts, Paul said, I travail. That this wonderful divinity of heavenly conception, it might be in our heart that we might bring forth his image. As in the Old Testament, when the woman brought forth a child, then she had an inheritance. If she didn't bring forth a child, then she didn't have an inheritance. Like it was as in the days of Judah, when the son died and there was no children. As it was when those Pharisees and scribes came to Jesus and Sadducees and began to ask him all these questions. And when it was said, as in heaven, who shall she be, seeing that she had 7 years in this world? And Jesus said, in heaven they neither marry nor are given in marriage. Said, you don't understand. There it's a spiritual world. It's an angelic world. See, and it's just for multiplication in this world. So then we are on the feminine side. And we do hear the word of God, and the conception does come, because it is Christ speaking. And as you conceive of this wonderful word, the kingdom of God, the Christ of God, even the word of God, Christ the seed of God, the Bible said, and when he comes into your heart, he'll never leave you nor forsake you. When you're born again of this royal seed, then the life comes forth even as the seed, when you're born of the seed of your father. In this heavenly Father seed, we are born to that Christ seed, and the life is making way as into our mortal genes to be made manifest, that this image might be changed into the glorious liberty of the sons and daughters of God, and that we might have the heavenly treasure, the great, wonderful, astounding riches and knowledge and power that God has in store for us through Christ before knowledge, given to us in Christ before the world ever was, brought to light at Calvary as to the rent veil, that it might be preached down through the church ages, and you and I of a sovereignty to choose to accept it or reject it, if we accept it, to comprehend, to grow in the grace and knowledge of the Lord Jesus to the heights, the depth, the width, and the length of this wonderful thing that the world is cut off from and cannot see with all of their polished scholars. They never see good when good comes. So then he that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit is saying unto the church. We are the church, which is the woman, and we have conceived of the seed. And Paul said, I travail as to the ministry, travailing till Christ be formed within you. And we're not far now from the opening of the matric and the coming forth of the child, because we're right down here at the end of the world, and the Jews are coming back into the picture, are coming back into man's mind and understanding when they've been cut off into the foreign world like those that were dead. No television, no radio, no communication, no nothing. All of a sudden that salvation that was with them found over here in the Gentiles. Now the Gentiles had the modernism of today, and now the Jews is coming back into the pictures, and a lot of talk about the papacy of Rome and the Jews, whereas the papacy also was out of the picture. See, so it means that the end of the world is here. As a matter of fact, The Day Star, as the publication of our paper, they're publishing an article that Pete did as to picture work on the front of the old walls of Jerusalem as a mushroom where a bomb is blown up, as the sign of his coming here on a billboard called the Revelation of Jesus Christ. And they put on the front of this the end of the world. And the Bible speaks of, until the Day Star dawns within your heart, which is Christ, for he said, he that overcometh, I will give to him the bright and the morning star, which means Christ within you, the hope of glory, as to that revelation or that wonderful revealing light that is made manifest within your mortal genes, even to the extent that it made the face of Stephen shine. So then we know that the Jews coming back into the picture, it's the end of the world. And we could say much about that tonight. If we just had time to go on, we could say much about that tonight. As a matter of fact, I intend to say some things about that tonight. I cannot say, because we don't have the time tonight, and I don't feel the drawing and the hunger and the thirst for that kind of thing tonight. But I do say this, that we are at the end of the world. Even the camp meeting that we're having, even the tent being set, that we just picked up after about 10 years, haven't set it up in a long time, and now it's set up because of Colorado. We had the meeting come back here, come back over here, and here it is right here set up again. I had made the statement to Betty. I said it has to do with the headstone where the Bible said, and the stone shall come crying, grace, 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 as it was at Calvary, and then the smiting of that is to the reflection of light. And with the refraction of light coming over the seven church ages as to a dimensional thing, as to the sevenfold light of the open door in heaven. But anyway, with this, John came right in following this out of Colorado, brought me a big, beautiful white stone out of the river bed, wherever it was, down in the river. He brought it from there, gave it to us, and I thought, now this again has to do with the headstone. And then today Richard came with one from the Red River and brought it to me. See, and there's something that is taking place. With the Jews coming back into focus, it means everything is at hand. With the 19 countries coming together, and with the last one of those countries as to the 10 nations, all of a sudden the last one is coming in, which is astounding the people because it's really in the Mediterranean area to some degree. But it's coming in. It means that the old beast, the 10 horns, everything is coming together, and I'm going to say this in closing. I spoke of the book of Revelation. I've read to you a number of times where it spoke of this great, wonderful thing where the people had bought. They had taken things as from the market, and it sounds like it is a great world market, as John speaks of it, where all kind of things, every heart's desire, everything you could wish for is right there. And it enumerates, if we just had time to go through it tonight. And when it is all finished, suddenly there is a desolation. Suddenly her destruction comes in 1 hour. Or as I said the other day, they got a bum now that they call it the 1 hour devastation. See, and it comes in 1 hour. And the Bible says that the merchants stood afar off, and they cast dust upon their head. And they said, alas, alas, the destruction of that great city. Her destruction has come in 1 hour. And they cast dust upon their head. And they said, this great city that had made the merchants of the earth rich, rich by her great riches, now her desolation is come in 1 hour. So we look at that and we say, what does that mean? It's very evident that with the common market of Europe coming up, America on her way down and fixing to go out, the end of the days of the Gentiles, that the church will be translated, where somebody says right now, some scientists say that for sure that they know where the Ark of the Covenant is. Said, we know for sure where it's at, and they're going to reveal it. Whereas if the Ark comes in, it's very evident that the church goes out. Why? Because Jesus had to do with the Ark of the Covenant. When Jesus was hid away, he's never been found. And only when Jesus comes back that the Ark of the Covenant can be found as to the Jews, which represent Jesus. And he's on his way back through this revelation. But anyway, here we see that great common market. We see all of the commodities of the world that's been shipped into America. Suddenly, they aren't shipped into America anymore. They're not coming this way anymore. They're stopping short of the markets to that side because look at the price as to the difference. when it comes to leaving them on that side of the ocean and having to import them to this side of the ocean. Look at what you save by getting them on that side of the ocean. And so all of them will go to that side of the ocean as the great coming market. And the new world, as we call it, which is America, will go out. She's no more. She's only meant for the church ages. And when it's over, then the church is over. The type of heaven is over, because this is a symbolic thing of heaven. That's why it's so beautiful over here, so luscious over here, and not over there. And it's just now over there that it's beginning to get to be a little luscious over there and not anymore over here. Things are fading out and they're going bankrupted on this side. So it's evident that that common market coming together, there, this is what was devastated within 1 hour. And this is what those ship merchants saw as they thought, now we brought these commodities. All of us have been made rich, and throw dust on their head and said, my God, there goes our riches. And by her delicacies, she has made the world rich. And in 1 hour, all of these things are blown to bits, are gone away. And they were torn up by it. See, which means the end of the world. And then, of course, a lot of things that we would say concerning the Jews as to what's fixing to happen about that time, which we don't have time to say tonight. But if you'll stand with me, maybe another night, we'll get to speak of some of these things. All right, let's sing a little chorus. You know, it's a strange thing. Preach the gospel to every creature. Wherever you go, you meet opposition out of minds and spirits because of demons and devils that possess bodies, and the word casts them out. And they don't want to be cast out. And there are strong spirits as being rooted in the world and in the things of the world to such extent that only in Christ can you root that thing up. Or only in Christ as a great physician can you differentiate and cut that evil out and save that life or that soul. Prayer is always a hindrance. But in singing, in praising the Lord, the rain comes on the tare, it comes on the wheat. And the tare has just as good a time when the rain comes as the wheat. No problem to sing and praise the Lord. And even as the charismatic move of the world, to sing and go on, you know. Because there is nothing required of a spiritual awakening as to mortify the deeds of the body. To put away evil, as to concupiscence, as to that whereas no good thing dwelleth in the body. But it's only something that's coming down as to that which is an adoration of the body and something that illuminates the body to project the body and make the human senses to be excited and feel good. And Satan likes that refreshing. He likes that refreshing, whether it be through passions, whether it be through the exhilaration of appetites, or whatever it might be as to the human senses. For he savors the things that be of the flesh, because he is the God of the world. So when you sing and when you praise God, that usually goes over real well with everybody. Even in the days of Saul, when the evil spirit would trouble him, David would play on the harp, and all of a sudden Saul would be in such a good mood. But outside of that, the demon spirits would trouble him because they were restless and they were trying to find that thing of a soothing atmosphere or a melodious thing to soothe them over the thoughts of going back into the dry places, like as in the days of the Gadarene when they cried out, "Have you come to torment us before time? If you're going to cast us out, let us go away into the swine," which, as we say, ran violently down a steep place and perished in the water. Let's sing this little chorus together. Sweep over my soul, sweep over my soul, precious spirit, sing that with me. Sweep over my soul, for my rest it is complete. While I sit at your feet, oh, sweet spirit, sweep over my... Can you sing that with me now?
For I've anchored my soul in God's haven of rest, and I'll sail the wild seas no more. Though the tempest it may sweep out over the wild stormy deep, but in Jesus I'm safe evermore. Sing that with me now. I need thee, Lord. I need thee. Every hour I need thee. And I need thee now, precious Savior. Oh, how I need thee. So don't turn him away. So don't turn him away. For he has come back to your heart once again. So let Jesus in to stay. For oh, how you'll need him just to plead your cause on that eternal day. Listen to the Savior and hear his loving voice. Don't turn him away.
Let's sing another little chorus or two together, and while we're singing, the altars are open.
We'll overcome. We'll overcome. We'll overcome someday. If in my heart I can believe, then I'll overcome someday. Gonna walk on streets of gold. Gonna walk on the streets of gold. Walk on the streets of gold someday. If in my heart I can believe, I'll walk on streets of gold. Can you sing that with me? Gonna shake my Savior's hand. Shake my Savior's hand. Shake my Savior's hand someday. If in my heart I can believe, I'll shake my Savior's hand someday. Gonna see my Savior's face. See my Savior's face. See my Savior's face someday. If in my heart I can believe, I'll see my Savior's face someday. For I'm gonna overcome. I'm gonna overcome. I'm gonna overcome someday. If in my heart. Lord, I can believe I'm gonna overcome someday.
You love the Lord? Let's sing this little chorus, Brother Taylor.
I keep working the roads to glory, working the roads to glory, helping the weak and the blind. I want to smooth out the road leads to heaven up above and make it easy for those behind. I keep working the roads to glory, working the roads to glory, helping the weak and the blind. I'm gonna smooth out the road that leads to heaven above. I'll make it easy for those behind. The road to heaven is straight, also narrow. The gate around us, trials of every kind. I want to smooth out the snares and end, offer my prayers and make it easy for those. I keep working those roads to glory, working those roads to glory, helping the weak and the blind. I want to smooth out the road to heaven up above. I'll make it easy for those. Everybody ought to know. Everybody ought to know. Everybody ought to know. Can you sing that with me? For he is the lily of the valley, and he that bright in morning's dawn, and he is the fairest of 10,000. Everybody ought to know. Everybody ought to tell. Can you say that with me? Everybody ought to tell. Everybody ought to tell who Jesus is. For he is the lily of your valley, and he's your bright and morning star, and he is the fairest of 10,000. Everybody, let's sing this little chorus. Grows sweeter each day, grows sweeter each day, his love grows sweeter for long life's way. All through the garden I can hear Jesus say, my love grows sweeter each day. Sing it one more time. Grows sweeter each day, grows sweeter each day, this love grows sweeter along life's way. It's all through the garden
I can hear my Savior say, my love grows sweeter each day. Sweet Jesus, what a wonder you are. You are brighter than the morning star. You are fairer, much fairer than the lily that blooms by the way. You're more precious, precious than gold. Oh my Jesus, sweet Jesus, what a wonder you are.
Brighter than the morning.
You are fairer, much fairer than the lily that blooms by the way. You're more precious than gold. And time shall be no more, no more. And time shall be no more. For the angel will stand on the sea and the land. And no more. Sing it with me again now. For time, I say again, you're the people upon whose ends the world have come. This is your generation. No more. And time shall be no more. For the angel will stand on the sea and the land, and time shall be no more. And I will praise him. I will praise him. Praise that's washed the wind. One more song. So I want to praise him. I will praise wonder, brother. Will come up and discuss this. My brother Pastor is coming. Let's worship the Lord together. Lift up your hands. Close your eyes. Don't forget, camp meeting begins really on a Friday night. It starts actually on Saturday, but on Friday night. And from there come being prepared for camp meeting, because we'll be in succession from Friday night on for quite a little bit. And we'll shift from here out to the tent. We'll go under the tent. There's plenty of shavings and sawdust. The old sawdust trail, as they call it. Preached under it many a time. And we'll be preaching under there. The Lord will, and God will be blessing us. Be worshiping the Lord together. And we have already put plenty of gravel on the roads to where you won't have no problem pulling in with your car, unless you want to park over here and walk across. We'll have some sawdust across there where you won't be in the mud at any time at all, other than the fact that you do park
around in the front where the grass is. That is plenty hard out there. You shouldn't bog down at all. They parked their last camp meeting. Well, that's when we had it under the tent. And you'll be able to park out there and come right on in, I think, without any problem. But we'll try to make it to be comfortable in the event that it is rainy. It's supposed to rise up to about 90, someone said. And it's supposed to be real warm. Perhaps dry, I don't know. But at any rate, whether it be warm, whether it be rainy, whether it be refreshing or whatever, we'll have it as comfortable as we can have it under the tent. It may be warm under there if the sun really comes out. But we have two huge fans that we've already got. These are great big fans. That's to pull the air to the circulation so that you would not be bothered with mosquitoes or you would not be bothered. It's too much heat. And after all, we're supposed to be able to endure a little something for God and be willing to subject our bodies to a little inconvenience for Christ that we might win a soul. You know, this we should be able to do because God did so much for us. And if that be the right thing to do, then invite somebody to come to camp meeting, come out and be with us, and to come out fasting and praying, come out with a good spirit, come out not to sit on the seat of the scornful or stand in the way of sinners. The Bible said your delight should be in the laws of the Lord, and then you should meditate day and night. So come out and help us. Help us. As a matter of fact, Brother Pazin here was one to God under the tent as to this message during one of the camp meetings a long time ago. And I'm looking for people to come to God. While we're out in Colorado, we want some people to the Lord. And I thought it was wonderful. One young fellow there, about 20 years old, he says he's coming over to visit with you. A real fine guy and fine-looking young fellow. He came and gave his heart to God one day while I was under the tent all by myself. And I talked with him, won him over to the Lord, and he said that he's going to try to join ranks with John and Sister Marie and see if he can do something on that end in the great state of Colorado to help win souls. Whatever it is, we invite you to come out. While we sing this course one more time, we want to say that we're glad to have you here, certainly glad to have Pete's mother here with us, and I trust she'll be with us through the whole camp meeting. And others that are coming, you that are here, if I did not recognize you tonight, as I say, the lights get blurry up here when they turn on these lights for the cameras. And sometimes it's a little hard to distinguish as to just exactly who you are. You know, I find myself doing like that. But nevertheless, we want you to know that you're welcome here. We're glad that you're here. We trust that you'll be here with us, not only through the camp meeting, but maybe you'll take a liking to this place. Someday you might move into the area if you don't have anything going into the other town or city for God. A lot of people say, well, that's my hometown. Well, that's all right. No problem with that. We got a remedy for that. God said, Abraham, get thee out of the land of thy kindred. So won't be no problem with that part of it.